Tackle, tackle, tackle!
Oh, welcome to Thunder Nerds. I'm Brian.
And I'm Frederick Philip Von Weiss, and thank you for consuming the Thunder Nerds, a conversation with the people behind the technology that
love what they do.
And do tech good.
Hey everybody, we are live at DevFest Florida 2019 in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, at the Disney's Contemporary Resort. It's been fantastic. It's magical.
It's magical, and speaking of which, we have a magical guest with us. We have Faisal Abid. Welcome to the show, Faisal.
Thanks for having me.
Yay.
Yeah, Faisal, Faisal doesn't matter. It's a very one. Okay. As long as I know you're referring to me.
Yes. So, Faisal, if you don't mind, if we start off by, if you could provide our audience a little bit of context about you, say about, you know, where you work and all that.
Cool. I'm Faisal. I work in Toronto. I'm a CTO at Zoom.ai. And apart from doing Zoom.ai stuff, on the side, I do a lot of Flutter development, mobile development, and speak at conferences like this one.
That's awesome.
You gave an acronym there, I believe. What was that you?
CTO, Chief Technology
Officer. Okay, I didn't hear that. Yes. Yeah, okay.
How long have you been doing that? Did you join the company at its inception or?
Yes, very early on I joined. 2016 September.
Oh wow! Okay.
So, and as we're growing, we're up to 20 people now, and it's just doing well. So it's fun.
Brand spanking new.
Yeah. It's an AI. You know, it's hot. It's in Toronto, the birthplace of AI, almost. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I love Toronto.
Toronto's fabulous.
Yeah, I think Joey is also from Toronto too. Joey Davila.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if you got to talk to him or see his.
No, I haven't. I have to. I'm gonna mingle with everyone after.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So how did you get involved with DevFest? Did they reach out to you?
Yes, so I'm a Google developer expert.
Yeah.
I end up traveling a lot for DevFest. I was at, I was somewhere actually recently. Oh, in Milan and Berlin doing DevFest conferences. Wow. And then Vancouver last year. So everywhere. Wow. I fly because it's fun. But apart from that, I got into it because I was doing Dart development a couple years ago. I think like 4 years ago. And someone from the Dart team reached out and said, hey, you're doing Dart development. Not many people even know about Dart. Do you want to present about it? And I actually gave a talk about Dart at OSCON just for fun on my own thing. And they reached out. They said, this is great. So why don't you help us out, be a Google developer expert. So kind of from there, set in motion where I'm just traveling, talking, networking with people and helping them with their apps.
Cool. So we've been hearing that a lot lately today, the Google developer expert. What exactly does that entail? Does that mean just like free pass to like speak anywhere you want?
No, not really. It's really just a marketing buzzword. All it is they will reimburse your travel if you travel to a conference, and they will network you with like DevFest will reach out, right? Because DevFest is primarily Google. So they'll reach out and they'll say, hey, we're, someone speaking in Kansas City. For example, I'm going to Kansas City February 9th and say, do we need a speaker there? Are you willing to speak there? And I'll say, okay, sure.
Nice.
So that's really all it is. It's not that cool.
Saying that Google
loves
it.
It sounds pretty cool.
Okay, sure. It's fun.
Yeah.
But it's nothing special.
I mean,
I don't know about that. It sounds pretty special.
You're an expert.
Sure.
You're special.
Yeah.
Sure.
Take it.
Sure.
Well, Faisal, can you tell us a little bit about your talk today?
Yeah, it was on Introduction to Flutter. So for those that don't know, Flutter is this new technology by Google that lets you write mobile, Android, and iOS. In the day, if you have to do it, you would have to do web development like Cordova or PhoneGap, or recently you're doing React Native. So this is much more like React Native, where it's actually compiling natively. React Native does something different. What Flutter does is it actually draws the components on the screen, so you're always going to get a very fast 60 frames per second experience.
Mm.
And when you're using it on iOS, it feels like an iOS app. When you're on Android, it feels exactly like an Android app. So you're not running into this issue where, oh, this doesn't feel right to me. So the user always expects the right experience.
Wow. Yeah. So what got you into writing Dart for Flutter?
So I've been doing mobile development since Android came out. I started mobile development the day Android came out, actually a couple of weeks before, I was introduced to Android. I was in my university library, and I saw that something called Android's coming out. And at that time, my phone had broken, and I saw that Google's coming out with the G1.
Oh,
yes, yes. What a great phone.
I
know.
Yeah.
So anyways, the G1 came out, and then I said, let's build something in Android. So I started learning Android as I went along, and I said, okay, I'm going to build a social marketplace for Android where mm-hmm. you can get all the paid apps you want in one Netflix-style subscription.
Nice.
And so I started that, and then I dropped out, worked on that, got an investment, built a company, and it was fun. It didn't work out at the end, but I learned a lot about Android development. And I got, because it was I was the primarily the only developer for a while, I learned how to do server side, front end, back end, whatever, the whole stack. And so I understood, you know, basically how to maneuver my way through the whole, all the different languages for each stack. And so as then I started doing Dart development because of Android, I had a very strong Java background now. So I started doing Dart development because Java and Dart are very similar. And I wanted to try something new. Every time I try a new project, and I try tons of new projects, I try to go for a new language that I don't know. Hmm. And I said, let's go for a Dart. I don't know what Dart is, things about it. And I started liking it. It turned out well. And so I built a project there in Dart, like a server API. And I said, oh, this is pretty neat. And then over time, as Dart grew, and as I started speaking in the Dart community, about in 2016, I was in Munich at a conference, at a Dart conference. And someone came on stage from the Google team and said, we're announcing something new. I thought they were going to merge my Android love and Dart love together and make Dart the default language on Android, which they eventually did with Kotlin. So I was expecting that. What they actually ended up giving us was Flutter. And at first I was confused. I said, wait a minute, this is just like a web app running inside a mobile app. But what I later realized was actually a native app. And it's going to give you 60 frames per second, natural performance, material design, looks pretty. And so then I said, great, because as an entrepreneur, whenever I'm building apps on my own, I first have to build an Android app. Then my rationale is if the Android app works, I'm going to go build an iOS app.
Yeah.
Right? And when I was at Kobo, I was doing iOS development. So I'm fortunate enough to know both platforms, but I don't have time to build a platform on top of a full-time day job. So Flutter makes this life easy where I can just build an Android app. I mean, I can build a Flutter app, publish it to Android, publish it to iOS all at once.
Yeah, that's so much value there.
Now, how does building it, do you still have to build it through Xcode, or I obviously need the certifications to actually publish it?
So at the end of the process, you do open up Xcode and you do the same Xcode build stuff.
Okay.
Where you have to publish the Play Store, App Store. Android, you can just run Flutter release APK. You get an APK that's signed already with your keys.
Wow.
That's
nice. Yeah. You can do Flutter release iOS, but then you still have to take that IPA, open up Xcode to publish into the store. Mm. And then you just develop on IntelliJ or VS Code or Sublime or whatever. And if you're crazy enough, you can even do it on Vim. There is a plugin for Vim to build it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know.
It's like if you hate yourself.
Well, what do you use? Are you using Android Studio or do you
use? I use IntelliJ.
IntelliJ,
no. Yeah. IntelliJ for me is, I use it for everything, TypeScript, Node, Dart, whatever. I'm just IntelliJ.
Why?
I just like that ID. I think coming, and here's why. Everyone at work uses VS Code.
Yeah.
I'm the only one at work that uses IntelliJ. Yeah. I think that's because coming from Eclipse and then moving to Android Studio, I'm used to the IDE experience, whereas VS Code for me is a lot like Sublime, where it's just like quick editing an XML file, quickly and closing it. Right?
Yeah,
it doesn't give me the entire development experience that I'm used to, even though it's perfectly as powerful as VS Code. I can't, there's just this user experience thing that I'm not just used to.
Mm-hmm.
So every couple months, I'll download it, I'll install some plugins, change the color scheme, and I'll be like, I'll be like, whatever, too much to learn. I'm just going to go back to IntelliJ.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, if you're trying to get stuff done,
and
that's what you're used to doing, and if it's going to give you the results,
I'd rather learn a new language than a new ID.
Exactly. What's the point?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say, why would you pick Flutter over, you know, React Native?
Anyone can choose whatever they want. I'm personally, if someone says why I like React Native, why should I use Flutter? I'll tell them why, which I'll tell you. But then I'll say, if you like React Native, go with React Native, right? But the fundamental difference is React Native, as you write React Native code, it says, okay, you want a button. Hey, Android, or hey, iOS, can you render a button for me? And the Android framework then goes ahead and renders the button.
Okay.
What Flutter says is, you want a button, I've already drawn the rendering engine. So it's like Unity for mobile apps. And it says, I'm going to draw a Flutter button, which looks exactly like a Material Design button. And you can say, hey, make it look like an iOS button or whatever. So it's going to look pixel perfect on all devices. The problem with React Native that a lot of people run into is that on iOS, React Native looks great because iOS has a standardized component set.
Yeah.
Sometimes what happens, or most of the times that I've talked to, is that they built a React Native app. It looks great on our Samsung device, but we found an LG user where the padding on the text view is all crap. And we have to now write extra code just to make sure to account for that padding. Right, because the LG, because of Android's vast ecosystem, each device manufacturer can slightly skin their phone a different way. So while on Pixel, Nexus, and some OnePlus, it'll look really nice. On some random manufacturer, like Samsung is notorious for this, where they'll skin everything, the effects will look weird.
TouchWiz.
Yes, TouchWiz, right? Your button will look weird. And this actually is not just a React Native problem. It's actually an Android problem. Yeah. If you build an Android app, there are times at Kobo, we were building Android tablets, and then we also had an Android app that was deployed on, you know, 10 million plus. The notifications, the colors would be all inverted because their UI theme called for this inverted UI, so you have to write extra code to support that. Or you'd run into issues where an image view, for some reason, always has a weird rounded padding. And you didn't really think about that because you said, wait a minute, an image view on all the devices I've tested, Android emulator looks the same. And so React Native has the same problems as native Android development.
Does Flutter fix this?
Flutter fixes this because Flutter standardizes everything. Flutter says, your buttons are going to look exactly the same because we're controlling the rendering engine.
Okay. Yeah, there's the value, right?
So flexible. How is that?
Flutter has a great layout system. The one learning curve that a lot of people run into coming from the Android world is Android has a UI XML editor.
Yeah.
And so when they come to Flutter, you're writing your UIs in code. And so you have to, you can start breaking them up to make them more saner. Because a lot of people fall into this fallacy where they start writing all their UI and business logic in the same file in Flutter because it makes it so easy to do that. But then they go, well, this is not good because that's not how Android does it. So you break it up, just like object-oriented break it up. Flutter, the key thing about Flutter is this hot reload system.
Yeah.
So while you're missing out on the design view that Android gives you, the hot reload system means anything you write in real time changes on your emulator or device. So you essentially have a design view right next to it, and as you're typing, you can see everything change. So you do get that same design view. It's just called hot reload.
Does the preview mode, does it have intelligent error handling? So if you mess something up, the preview will actually be like, hey,
yes,
blah, blah, blah.
The preview would crash. Right. And keep in mind, the preview is actually the live app.
Yeah.
If you have a lot of states, it's not that the app will crash and all your state will go away. Your app will crash, you would fix the error, and all your state is back.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So if you're like three levels deep
if
you're three levels deep into an API call, and you're holding on to, say, the OAuth token, and you make a mistake, your app will crash, you just delete that mistake, and the OAuth token's still in memory, and you continue with that flow.
Wow,
that's cool.
So if you've done Android development, iOS development, a lot of times, you'll screw up something, and then you would wait for Gradle to build or Xcode to build,
and
clean build.
Log in and get back to where you were.
Get back. And then you start doing weird hacks where you go, okay, automatically log me out every time, automatically log me in every time. Then you forget about it during the QA process. A lot of stuff happens. A lot of stuff happens, right? So with Flutter, you're kind of eliminating these weird hacks a lot of developers do just to make their life easy, where you're getting this instant feedback. And you've seen this instant feedback a lot in web development, because as you're doing web development, that's all you do.
Yeah.
You're getting this instant feedback, and you don't run into these frustrations that you do in mobile development, right? So
you're taking away a lot of that human error kind of
exactly,
which is sounds beautiful.
Yeah,
a little bit, because humans are error prone
all the time.
Crazy.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, we're the worst.
Yeah, you don't hack the computer, you hack the person.
Yeah.
It's always a user error.
Always.
So what got you into technology?
I don't know. Make money.
Sure. Well, I mean, were you eight and you were like, I need to make money?
Yeah, I think so. I said,
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, as you were growing up, like, what made you get into
It was the power to create something and be able to output some sort of something that can help people, that can help people or help your pocket, whatever, and just have fun, right? It's the programming, development, engineering, whatever, software engineering is the easiest thing to, it's the most low barrier thing, right? You have the internet, anyone, anywhere, as long as they have an internet and a decent computer can learn development. And that is, you can't do that with any other any other profession. Sure, you can learn how to operate someone by reading Wikipedia, but you won't actually ever learn how to do it, right? You can't be a doctor by reading Wikipedia, but you can actually become a Flutter developer by reading an article.
And also, too, if you can't be a doctor by yourself at home.
Exactly. Yeah, but, right? But so there's no age barrier. Yeah. You can be 6 years old and become a developer. You can actually be 60, build an app. You can be 6, build an app. It doesn't really matter, right? And technology progresses, stuff's becoming easier and easier. There's never been a time in entire human society that you have the ability to go online. You have the ability to go to the washroom at this conference, open your phone up, and learn calculus, for example. Right? No one ever, unless you were, you know, neighbors with a mathematician in the old days, all right, where you can knock on his door and realize, knock on his door and be like, hey, can you teach me calculus? You would never learn. And now you can learn about anything. So development is just something where you can learn and apply it in a very quick real-time feedback loop. And you can publish your app and someone will say, your app is awesome, or your app sucks, which most likely will happen. And then you can learn from your mistakes and do the quick iterative feedback cycle.
Yeah, it's amazing how many publishers create, how we have, you get that joy out of putting that stuff out there rather than, you know, the other side being a consumer of these things. But yeah, the satisfaction level is great because you can put stuff out quick too.
Yeah, there's a very low barrier to entry.
Yeah.
Right. Very low. And I know a lot of developers complain, well, we don't have the ad dollars or whatever, but it forces you to be creative. Right. There's always creativity. And if you just create the same generic app that everyone has, if you create a wallpaper app, chances are, you know, a wallpaper app's not going to be the next best thing. However, if you go in, if you go in with the mentality that I'm going to create a wallpaper app to learn Android development, learn Flutter, right, then you can use those skills and move the dial and, you know, try something else. And try to build an app now that, you know, is a real-time chat app or a marketplace or something.
Yeah.
It's just about learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So non-tech related question. Hope you're cool that's with fine. That. What is your current non-technical hobby that you like doing?
Oh, going to the gym. That's something that's been happening a lot.
Yeah.
I like doing that. But I think one of my favorite things is just watching movies. Absolutely, any whether it's crappy or amazing, it's just this idea of, hey, let's watch a movie to see what's happening and understand the cinematography, the director, whatever, and just analyzing it. So that is one of my favorite hobbies.
What's your favorite movie right now?
I think my favorite movie of all time in the past like 5 years has to be Interstellar. I have seen that movie in like 4 times in 3 days. I'm not a psychopath. I didn't actually go watch it, intend to watch it. What happened was I saw it midnight on Thursday, and then Friday, the company took everyone to Interstellar as a surprise.
Oh, that's nice.
And then Friday night, I went out with friends, and they're like, hey, let's watch Interstellar. I'm like, sure, why not? I like the soundtrack. And then on Sunday, I told my parents, you got to go watch Interstellar. So then I took them. So
wow.
It was this random event. And we ended up watching. I ended up watching it so many times, so quickly.
I love that. Like, it's all about like time travel too, and like
you. Oh yeah, I know. It has
that
everything.
Whole, like,
it has every
love thing.
No, it's
weird.
Okay, whatever. The script could be better.
This is
what's good about the movie. It explores something that is very important to society, which is where eventually Earth is going to be crap.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and as we see, you know, with
optimistic
weather, yeah. but the idea of going into this new galaxy, this new universe, to see what's out there, it's a great envisioning. Christopher Nolan is a fantastic director. He did a great job with portraying all different planets.
That was awesome.
Exactly, right, and seeing this The planets on, and with the black hole Gargantua.
Yeah, they actually really simulate that. Exactly. Did you know that? That's, they did an actual scientific simulation of a black hole.
Kip Thorne is a physicist who consulted on the movie.
What?
Yep. He works with Stephen Hawking when he was around, and he consulted, and they made. And here's what's interesting about it: when I watch a movie, the first time I watch it is for fun. The second time, it's like to see the details behind it. And I was telling my friend recently where. The thing that sucks about streaming movies is that you miss out on the director's commentary.
Right?
Director's commentary was the best director's commentary I saw was Watchmen, where Zack Snyder during the whole movie was there talking about, hey, I'm hiding right behind the table holding this flower pot because we couldn't hold it properly, right? And you
that's hilarious.
And you understand, so cool. Yeah, you understand all these intricate things where he's like, we actually wanted to do this, but we weren't able to accomplish it. So the compromise I made was doing this, right? And so you understand what's happening in the movie from a very technical level, and it gives a new meaning to the movie also. Ooh.
Becomes more beautiful.
HBO's got to do a series, Watchmen.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, really? No, awesome.
I have one final question for you because we're getting close to the end. Is I'd like to know. There's a lot of work and effort that goes into preparing presentations. Not everyone really thinks about that when they come. They're like, it's 20 minutes. It must be really simple and easy.
Yeah.
I'd like to get a little behind the scenes look at like the work you've done. Obviously, it's a little bit. I believe it's a little based on your book, probably, that acted as a basis.
Yeah.
But could you give us a little?
So it's a big article I actually wrote on Flutter, Flutter for Android developers. Yeah. But I've been speaking since 2009. I've been speaking since 2008, since I was 18. And so.
Nice.
And so during this whole course, the first time I spoke was absolutely terrible. And what I did was I took it from a very business standpoint of view. I said, okay, I'm going to speak to a small, small audience. And I found a small user group. And user groups in Toronto, at least, or in Canada, they don't get like 400 people show up, 50 people show up. They get like 3 people, 4 people to show up. And so I said, great, I'm going to go speak there. And I'm going to see how I do. And I started learning how to speak in front of a bunch of people. And I said, okay, 3 people, I'm going to go ask them what you thought about the talk. And the guy's like, oh, you know, you were too fast or you were too slow. Mm. You gave too much code. And over the course of since 2008, however long that's been, I've understood on how to tweak a talk. And this is my tip and my advice for the talk. And for anyone who's listening, this is what I think is the makes the best talk. It's just like a movie trailer. A movie trailer... You watch a movie trailer and you're like, wow, this is a really cool movie. I can't wait to see Avengers. You showed me some cool fight scenes. You showed me some cool dramatic sequences. I think I'm going to go check it out. In a 40-minute talk, in a 20-minute talk, doesn't matter, I am never going to be able to convey all the details about a topic.
Yes.
And a lot of failures and a lot of talks that I see is people trying to show a lot of code and explain how to, they're trying to convey a message where they want someone to leave the room, open up the editor, and do exactly that. And that's never going to happen. That's a workshop that's 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Before I talk the movie trailer. So the way I organize all my talks for the past like 4 or 5 years, once I had this like epiphany that it's just like a movie trailer, is I talk about the introduction about, in the beginning, there was man, right? So I'm like, this is how Flutter came to be. This is why Flutter is cool. And then I say, let me show you some cool things about Flutter, right? And I just show some tricks. I show how hot reload works, how fast it is to develop. I'm not showing them the code. I'm not showing them the syntax. I'm just basically showing them like little snippets of, look, when I type this in, all this magic happens, right? And then I show them.
I like magic.
And then there's a graph of how good it's going to be. Then I say, ask me questions, because people during movie trailer, they're like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen in this. So they'll ask me questions. They're like, does Flutter support this or that? I'm like, yes, it does. And then I'll quickly talk about it, and we'll move on to the next tease that I show. And during the 40 minutes, I'll tease them enough that they'll go, you know what? I like Flutter so much that I'm going to go home and actually learn. Just about getting them pumped up to try and teach them something.
Good talk.
Yeah, good talk.
Yeah, how to
have a talk.
That's a really great analogy. Yeah. I like that. It's like a trail. And you're completely right. Like, you can't explain everything, but you can explain enough that they get the interest. That they're exactly. like, oh my God, I'm really excited about this.
I need to build that wallpaper.
Exactly.
Build that wallpaper.
Exactly. Yeah. Show them what's possible. Show them, give them aspiration, and then they will go and do it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. Right, well, Faisal, hey, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Fantastic talking.
Yeah, and if people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
You can go to my Twitter, at Faisal Abbott, and that's where I'm tweeting about all sorts of stuff. So follow me.
Perfect. Yeah, and we'll put a link in the show notes. Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. We'll have some more coming up.
Toodles.
Thanks for consuming the Thunder Nerds. We honestly and sincerely appreciate you watching and or listening to the show. Please subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. Write us a review, kick a few stars our way. And above all else, please remember to send your favorite book suggestions to Brian Hinton.
I like romance novels. They have happy endings.
I should have known the Territor didn't mean us any harm when the Sword of Omens didn't obey me. And anyway, it was just plain stupid to assume it might be bad. Just what the fuck am I talking about?